Mitts off. I'm your host, Luke Gazdick. It's a little playoff preview time, and I wanted to pick two of the series to go over, kind of break down, do some analysis, and have a guest on to help us with that. The two that obviously mean the most to me are the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings, and on the Eastern Conference side, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. What a better matchup, not only for Toronto fans, but for everyone waiting for this. Obviously, the history is not on the Leafs side, but personnel and matchup wise, I really like this matchup for the Leafs. This is a different Toronto team, I think, than years past. This is a team that is not intimidated. They like to play physically. In scrums, it's 5-on-5. It's not 1-on-5 anymore. And I played this role. That was my job in hockey. So for me to give praise to a team like this, especially Toronto, who I hold to a pretty high standard, is saying a lot. They were third in total hits this year. They were second in hits per game. And if you look at three games this season with the most combined hits, Toronto was a factor in all three of those, winning two of those battles. That tells me that if a team wants to ramp up their physicality and they want to play that way, they want to try to push them around and intimidate and bully, Toronto's not taking that anymore. The Leafs are either matching that or they're exceeding that. And if it goes past fighting or past hitting, they have guys that are not afraid to drop the gloves and fight. Ryan Reeves, Simone Benoit, who we had in the pod, has been an absolute bright spot for their defense and I think is going to be a huge factor in tempering the Boston offense and tempering Brad Marchand. Weaknesses, I like Toronto's D forwards over Boston's D. I think that's where they can expose them. If they get to a three-line matchup and spread out Domi, Nylander, Marner, maybe not in that order. If you can have a three-line, three-pronged attack versus Boston, that's where you might get them. Forward depth and going after their D. But to me, this is going to come down to Boston's goaltending. And in general, this might just come down to goaltending in general. Ilya Samsonov and what he's been able to accomplish over the last half of the year after where he was mentally, it's quite the story. And I have a lot of faith in him, but I think they'll be thinking about going to Joe Woll at some point. Not even sure what's going to happen on the Boston side. Did they go tandem all year because they want to save one guy for the playoffs? Are they going to go tandem in the playoffs? Time will only tell. But I will tell you that it's a very well coached and hardworking team with a great culture in Boston. And on the Leafs side, you know, as a Leaf fan, do we ever want to see them exercise these demons? And I mentioned it before, but I don't mind the matchup at all. I think this works out better for them than the Florida Panthers did. And so in thinking about breaking this series down, I wanted to get someone on that was, I don't know, unbiased to both sides, maybe a little bit biased towards the Boston side, but my former teammate with the Texas Stars, my third-year pro, Andrew Raycroft, who is part of one of the biggest trades in Leaf history, is going to join us coming up soon. Works for Nesson as a studio analyst and ringside. He's incredible at what he does, well-spoken, has a good mix of, you know, talking about experience, but using the analytical and detailed side. So he's going to be coming up in a bit here. A phenomenal guy, one of my favorite teammates, even if it was for a short amount of time. And really looking forward to talking to Andrew on previewing this series, which should be a great one. Now joined by another absolute legend, one of my former teammates, the Texas Stars Bruins analyst, Andrew Raycroft. Razor, what's up, buddy? How are we doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Hope everything's good there. We got the league, all of us fans got the matchup that we really want in Bruins Toronto. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Did we ever? We're prepping for it here in the city as well. First and foremost, I think the biggest narrative, right? I mean, I grew up in this city. We've watched the collapse back in 13, going all the way back to 59. They haven't beat him in the playoffs, haven't beat him this year. So there's obviously that history of them losing, and both of us being former players, I kind of wanted to pick your brain about how much you think that's a factor in the room when it comes to the team, knowing the past and the history that's there between the two squads.
Well, I think it's there a little bit. I think what's changed this year is for the Bruins side of things is no Bergeron, no Krejci. So it's hard to go back, as hard as it is to go back to 19 and 18, and especially 13, with Bergeron and Krejci gone, I think that adds a new dynamic. I think you look at the season, and of course, those games don't mean anything. They have no bearing on it, but I think it does indicate that the Bruins might feel comfortable with the matchup against the Leafs. And just the, I think that's kind of the overall recent history, is just the way the Leafs play and want to play hockey compared to the way the Bruins play and the culture that they have.
Definitely going to dig into some systems and matchups in a sec, but I got to dig into that Boston side as well with their collapse last year. Is that something maybe, I don't want to say still in the back of their mind, but some sort of mental adversity that they'll have to kind of get over, looking for a little redemption?
For sure. It's definitely hanging out there. I think, again, they have a bit of a clean sheet with Krejci and Bergeron gone, and now it's Zacha and Coyle. And it's different adversity in that they have to prove that they can do it without those guys. They have to prove that they can step up and be those kind of players in this city, in this organization, and no better opportunity to do it against Toronto.
I gotta ask you, I was thinking about not even necessarily playoffs, but for me, there were just some places, some buildings, some teams, man, I'll call it San Jose. Like, I knew getting off the bus in San Jose, I was in for one. It was just something about the rink, something about the teams that were there. I just knew that if I could get off the sheet minus one unscathed, that I was gonna, I'd be all right. Is there a team you remember just like having your number, whether it was playoffs, regular season, that you felt that way against?
Well, there's quite a few, unfortunately. That's why I didn't make it as long. But it's to that point, and it's really actually pretty relevant to this situation, is in 04, we played Montreal in the playoffs, and it was Boston, Montreal. And of course, the history between those two teams in the playoffs and Montreal handing it to the Bruins for decades. And of course, the late 80s, Ray and Cam and those guys got over the schneid. But in 04, I was around as a black ace in 02 when the Bruins were heavy favorites, 1-8, and Montreal knocked them off in 02. We went in as the number 2 seed against the Montreal 7 seed, and we knew we were in it. Like, it just wasn't a good matchup, and there was history involved, and I think it just added to some of the pressure. We ended up losing 1-0 in game 7, and I look back, if we had played any other team, we wouldn't have had that narrative around it. And I think that's where, like, some of that history and just these two teams playing, it adds a lot of pressure on both teams because of the narrative around it.
Before we get into kind of, looking at this in more detail, just a more macro view for a team that you've mentioned multiple times now, lost Bergeron, lost Krejci. How did Boston get here? How'd they do this? Second in the Atlantic. We're in first for most of the year. Another incredible year. What is so good about them that allowed them to play this way without, two of their best players?
I think the biggest thing is their consistency, their attention to detail from game 1 to game 57 to game 77 and now game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not going to change. The details don't change. The professionalism, the culture, the idea that you show up and you work and nothing is too much to overcome. And the guys like Marchand, the guys like Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak have stepped up into those leadership roles that there might have been a bit of a vacuum, but they've been around this forever. Brad Marchand won a Stanley Cup. He was a big part of this for 10 years. So they know what's expected, and they continued that. I think they all take a lot of pride in doing it without those two guys from last season. And now again, it's another step, but it comes down to just the details they have every single day. And it's not going to look different now Saturday night than what it did a week ago.
I feel like on the Toronto side, I mean, every Toronto fan has said this multiple times over the years, but this feels different. And the only reason I say that is just, I played a very physical game, and it takes me a lot to be able to say that I can get behind a team. And I haven't been able to say that about Toronto in a long time, but the way they play physically, not just Ryan Reeves, like, it took Bert and Domi a while to get used to the systems and adjusted. But if you want to look at the numbers, they are second in total hits on the year and third in hits per game. And it just tells me that, like, anytime a team's wanted to play that way this year, they just match it or exceed it. Like, they don't mind getting into the muck with teams. Do you see that this series going that way, like being really like taxing physically on either team?
It's a good question. It won't be like what either one of these teams would have faced playing Florida. That's not really the Bruins' DNA, right? Is to start a scrum every single shift. Now, I think they will try, and we saw it, especially in the game back here in Boston, the second game of that week in March. It was physical. And I think now Pat Maroon's here for Boston, so you know he's getting in on the forechecks. Like that turns out to be a huge ad for the Bruins at the deadline, because if it was just Reeves out there, that would have been an issue for the Bruins. He would have been bullying everybody. And now Maroon's there just to offset that. I think both of them, they're not going to fight each other. They're just going to try and run each other's stars into the ice. Like that's what both of them do really well. So it will be physical. I don't know about the after the whistle scrums. I don't think Bruins want to test a Leafs power play. And I don't know if that gives the Leafs a lot of value as well. So I think it's going to be physical within the whistles, not quite the same Florida Panther circus.
Yeah, you mentioned power play. That's where Toronto, I think, can excel. You can disagree with me if you want, but I think the core four and where Boston might be susceptible, is their D-core, maybe a little bit. From their forward side, I feel like their forwards just work. They check and they just work and compete. In the last 8 games against Boston, the Leafs have only scored 15 goals, which not great. I mean, how do they find space and score? For someone that, even like me, like I watched a decent amount of Bruins hockey this year, but for a Leaf fan that didn't see them play all year, do they have flaws? Is there a way you can score against this Bruins team?
Well, they weren't great in the middle, which I think they exceeded their season against the Leafs, probably because they knew they had to be great in the middle of the ice against the Leafs team that's good at cycling. I think that can be a problem for the Bruins over a 7-game series. They're going to have to be good at it. They're going to have to punt pucks out of the zone at times, because sometimes, and this is what happened last year, they try and make too many plays in the middle of the ice. And most of the time they're good at it, but there's times against a team that has good pressure down low, you have to live to fight another day. And I think that's where the Leafs can take advantage. I think they're just their depth. If they've got a star player on the first 3 lines, I think that's kind of where you could wear the Bruins down offensively. It looks like it's McAvoy, Lindholm sticking together, at least at home. So you can imagine basically the top 2 lines are going to see a lot of them 5-on-5. I think there's opportunities to play those. But that third line, if it's Tavares, if it's Nylander, whoever's there, should have a decent matchup. And that's, you know, from the Bruins side, they're going to have to defend well as a unit, at least against one of these lines of the Leafs.
Yeah, if you're asking me, they got to split up, whether it's having Domi staying with Matthews, maybe Mitchie playing with Tavares, even Nylander down the third line with Holmberg. That could give them such a dynamic punch if they had 3 lines that went. But you're a goalie. I want to talk about the goaltending. The job that Sway and Swayman and Ullmark have done this year, they gave him a chance to win every night. And I'm very curious to see how this goes. I obviously know one of them is going to start, but they went tandem all year. Is this a situation where you think they like stick with the tandem in the playoffs, or take one guy, let him get hot and kind of just ride that?
I think we see all 4 goalies within the first 3.5 games of this series. And I think from the Bruins side, it's strength, and maybe from the Leafs side, it's not so much strength. With the Bruins, I think I don't see them running with a guy right out of the gates. I think they're, and especially with, because it's the Leafs. Now, Ullmark's been better the last month. Since Swayman played great against the Leafs, it's been just okay. And again, of course, his expectation is a little bit higher than everyone else. So when I say okay, it's probably better than average, but okay. Ullmark's gone the other way. He's been great since the deadline. So I think Ullmark's got the inside track, but because it's the Leafs, because it's the matchup, I expect Swayman to get in within the first couple of games and use that rotation, not a straight rotation, but use the dual goaltenders as their strength. Now, the plan's in place now, but we all know you get punched in the mouth and the plane changes real quick. So that's where I'm always hesitant. Like, if somebody's getting a shutout, if someone's giving up five goals and losing, it's just so hard to go back or go against that guy. And that's where I don't see a rotation, but I see both guys playing.
All right, for a new analyst like me, still learning how to break down and figure out goalies, talk to me about Swayman and Allmark and maybe some weaknesses that Toronto might able to be exposing on them.
Yeah, so they both, like I said, Allmark's kind of been better at the end. Swayman's been great. Swayman, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more movement in his game. Allmark, a little bigger, a little bit more inside of his nets, inside of his post, stays in his crease. I think it's not like shoot high blocker, right? Or high glove. They're way too good for that kind of thing. I think getting to the middle of the ice is important because these guys will make, they're not giving up free goals. That's what they do so well. There's no free goals. So whenever, and I think about the last couple of years, especially just like Toronto, I think about the goals they've given up or like the Austin Matthews banking it off the side of the net or the Austin Matthews wraparound. Like that's how Austin scored. It hasn't been like off the one-timer or off a wrister because they get to their spot so well. It's the chaos that Toronto has to develop in front of them. The goal, 6-on-5 goal that Massey scored, it's Marner all in the middle of the ice and the puck pops out. So I think the key to beating Swayman and Allmark is just having bodies, that old cliche against most good goalies, and not turning up shots, not passing up shots, but just accepting that they're going to make saves from the outside, but try and create chaos, create rebounds, not turning down shots.
You just said that we might see all four goalies within the span of, you know, three games in this series. Doesn't sound like you have a ton of faith in Ilya Samsonov and the Leafs side, or is it just, is it Bruins offense? Is that what the case is?
No, I just think they're going to be ready to go to Joe Woll because of the way he played in the playoffs last year. I think both coaches have zero rope. They have zero rope in this series. I think it's very obvious that one period, one shift is going to swing this thing one way or the other. It's so close. Teams are so good. So I don't see how I see games winning being 1-5-2. I don't like, that's kind of how I picture it. And I think if a goalie loses 5-2, he's going to go to the next guy. I don't think a coach is going to hope that goalie is great the next first period because of Joe Woll and the way he played last season and the way Samsonov's year's gone. I just don't, that's why I say it. It's not, I think Samsonov has been amazing this year. His adversity to go through that, come back, bounce back, I think that sets him up for a good playoff. I just think that it's so tight in the first round. Both of these coaches need to win. I don't see them giving anybody any rope.
Well said. Give me someone on the Bees that you would kind of call like an X factor, like someone you wouldn't prototypically think of, not a Pasternak or even like a Charlie Coyle, someone maybe in their depth that you think could be a surprise kind of breakout player that could help them win this series.
Yeah, it's Trent Frederick, third line, right winger, might end up at center, but it's probably Geeky and Frederick and someone else, depending on injury and when guys come back. On the third line, I think that's going to be the key, is one of Geeky or Frederick. I picked Frederick because he's really stepped up his game. Didn't have a good playoff last season, didn't get on the board this season. He's going to have to chip in offensively, whether that's at home or especially on the road. He's going to have to defend well because you assume they're going to try and put Matthews or Tavares and Marner against him on the road. So for me, Bruins X factor is Trent Frederick outside of the top six.
I was going to say Bertuzzi for the Leafs side, but I don't know if that's, I mean, it's outside the core four. I just think that's the reason they brought him in. And I know it's former team, but this is why they brought him in, is playoff hockey and scoring big goals in big times. If it's someone outside that, for me, I'll probably say Bobby McMahon. I think he's had a great back half to the year, big forward, could be an absolute force versus these guys. But I can't let you leave without a prediction. You got anything for me?
I think, like you said, Toronto is better this year. I think physically they're better. I think, but, and this is my but, is Swayman and Allmark are way too good of goaltenders to lose in the first round 3 years in a row. So I think they recognize that. I think as a tandem and individually, they know that it's now or they become, you know, maybe not starting gold. Like questions start coming up if it's 3 years in a row. So I have Toronto and, or sorry, I have the Bruins winning in Toronto in game six.
I'm going to take the Buds in seven. I think they exercised the demons this year, finally.
Love it.
And I'd be remiss, too, if I didn't have you on here. And obviously, one of the reasons I thought of you with Boston, Toronto, is you're part of one of the, maybe one of the biggest trades in Leaf history, man. I mean, that was when I was a, I don't want to say a kid, but a teen growing up here in Toronto. That was a huge, huge thing, man. Can you enlighten us, maybe give us a little background or a quick story on the trade and how all that shook out?
Well, I think that, I mean, the funniest part about it now is I literally have lunch with Tuukka like once a week. We play golf, you know, every 10 days. He lives
That's
like
awesome.
8 minutes from my house. So we never really talk about it. But yeah, I guess just the whole full circle of it. Of course, I was as excited as anyone to be able to play in Toronto. We talked about that a lot. I mean, to be a Leaf and a Bruin alumni is pretty cool, and not many of us. And yeah, it was awesome being in Toronto. As much as everyone thinks I hated it there or had a struggle there, I loved every minute of it. And and the further I get away from the trade, the funnier it is, because people truly believe that it was on me that the trade happened, and why Justin Pogge didn't get better, you know, like it's so I've been able to deal with it now as I've gotten away from it.
Which Brad Marchand are we going to see here? I know I talked about a bit about the physicality, but is this going to be the guy that's under the skin of every Leaf player, the more mature Marchand?
My sense is he's going to keep his head down. I think he won't get into stuff after whistles. I think he's going to be under the skin. He's going to try and deck guys. He's going to try and go after the Marners and the Matthews. That's what he does well, but it won't be after the whistle. I think he really stays disciplined in that. So that's game one. Who knows what happens in game two? You know, I think as this turns up, they're all going to get into it. We're going to have a heck of a post game one of these nights in chaos that's ensued in that physicality. And I'm sure Brad will be in the middle of it.
Well, you're the man. I really appreciate this. You do great work on Nesson and everywhere anyone can find you. So I appreciate you taking the time, man.